Today on Real Life Radio.
You think this morning you can be such a big sinner that your sin is too big for the blood of Christ? Look, don't impress yourself. You can't sin that big. Just don't die without Jesus. You die without Jesus and it's hell, says the Bible.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, It's Time to Get Up and Go, Part 2. Now, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, a physician, could do. Here, as we move further into chapter 5, we find that Jesus is willing to help those who are suffering from extreme physical hardships. You see, many rejoiced over the fact that Jesus had a desire to help. Paralyzed man was brought to Jesus by his friends, and when Jesus saw their faith, he told the man that his sins were forgiven, and he got up from his bed and he walked away. The crowd was amazed by his power, and it all glorified God, but the Jewish leaders who were watching Jesus, they considered it blasphemy for claiming to be God in human skin. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that whether rich or in poverty, healthy or physically in need, strong or weak, Jesus died for everybody. But can everyone be forgiven? Well, the Bible says that whoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Now in his message called It's Time to Get Up and Go, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
How does God save us? Number one, we need help. Jesus died for us. Jesus died for us. That's how he saves us, by the offering of Christ upon the cross. He died for us. The word is propitiation. He died in our place, taking away the penalty, taking away the guilt. He died in our place. God the Father placed on Jesus all of your sin and mine. That's how my sins, your sins are forgiven. If you wanted to sum it up in one word, you could put it down this way. The cross, or two words, the cross. It's the cross. That's how he forgives sins. This is a beautiful transaction. It's between God the Father and God the Son, and you and I get blessed in the middle. God judged my sin on the cross, putting my sin upon Jesus, and when Jesus paid the debt by dying in my place upon the cross, he gave me salvation. He purchased it for me. So how does he forgive sins? God the Father turns to God the Son with that agreement, and the sin was paid for at the cross. Number two, how are my sins personally forgiven? We would ask, what about me personally? Jack, I understand that Jesus Christ died for all. What about me personally? Listen to this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, for he himself is our offering, our sin atonement. And not for ours only, but also for the entire world. So there's the personal. He died for me. And I know I say this, and I know you've read this and heard this before, but church, did you know it's theologically true? You can't change this, even though you and I may not feel it or believe it. But if you and I were the only ones ever born, God who loves you, God who loves me, would have came and died still on the cross for me or you, even if we were the only ones that were ever born. You want to know why? Because his love drove him to do that. He loves you so much. And it's a theological thing. If you have a hard time believing that, just chalk it up to this. It's a theological thing between God and his, God the Father and God the Son. You are that valuable to him. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. That whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, that's you, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. 2 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That means listen to this and don't miss it. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. That means God is waiting for you and I to cry out to him now. That's you personally. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, Now is the day of salvation. For who? You. Me. Personally. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pastor, you got to be kidding me. That's what the Bible says. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew or Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord over all, and is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number three, in what moment is my sin forgiven? How can I understand this? In what moment does this take place? What assurance do I have? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, now all things are of God, who has, the word in Greek is past tense. Listen, this is wild. Are you guys ready for this? Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The word means that at the cross, in the moment Christ died, the reconciliation that is all that needed to happen for you and I to be right with God was done at the cross. You say, well, Jack, I was born 2,000 years later. Exactly. And the moment you come to understand, when you hear the gospel, watch. If Jesus died for my sins in the past, when am I then forgiven? The offering was made. The sin of this world, the sin of my life is upon me, upon you, your sin. The moment we enter into that finished work of Christ, it's lifted. You say, oh, I thought he died for my sins. He did die for your sins. Remember the ticket getting on the train? The train is there. You got to have a ticket. The ticket is not anything you earn. The ticket is something you get. How much? No money. You simply need to agree with God and be reconciled to him. Yes, okay. How? Jesus Christ. When does it happen? He already did it at the cross. So hurry up, will you? Come on. The Lord is inviting you to come to know him. Based upon what? His desire to save you. How does he do that? The cross. Jesus was my offering. So come on in. Take full advantage of what's been provided. You see? Now watch. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, that is instantaneously. Change your mind now, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Yet he gave that invitation before he had even died. He was inviting people to come and to know him, and they would see him go to the cross. They looked ahead to Christ going to the cross. You and I do not look ahead. You and I look back to Christ being at the cross. Acts 3:19 says, change your mind. The word is repent and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped out and the times of refreshing from the Lord may come upon you and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Number four, is there a sin too great that I can commit? Is there a sin so great that I can commit and God won't have me? That's a great question. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's himself, Jesus, will be forgiven. And anyone who speaks against whoever speaks against God will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. You say, well, what is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Listen to this. Jesus was so clear. You can attack me, and you can be forgiven for doing that. You can attack the Father. You can attack anything. But don't commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. See, what is that? It is to live your life. Are you with me, everybody? It is to live your life constantly rejecting the Holy Spirit's offer to get saved, to have your sins forgiven, to receive Christ. You just keep pushing him off. Last week I had a man, 92 years old in the foyer. And he needs Christ. How old are you? How long have you been pushing off the Holy Spirit saying, you need Jesus, you need my salvation, you need my hope? Say yes. Every week when the pastor makes the offering to raise your hand or to make a decision, do it. You hear the Holy Spirit saying, now. And you push him off and you push him off and you push him off. That day, those days, will visit us again. We'll visit you again. We'll visit me again. And the issue is, in eternity, God is basically going to ask, what did you do with my son? Listen, can you rob a bank and be forgiven according to the Bible? Yeah. The Bible says Jesus Christ died for all sin. Did you hear that? Raise your hand if you're awake. You're so quiet. Raise your hand. Did you hear that? Jesus died for all sin. Can you be forgiven if you, listen, watch this. Can you be forgiven if you rob a bank and you repent of it? Huh?
Yes.
What about if you steal a car?
Yes.
Okay? All sin. But somebody will teach, somebody will say, you can be forgiven all sins but these sins. Where do they get that from? Legalism? Sure. Traditions? Sure. Did they get that from God?
No.
You live your life rejecting. Thank God Almighty that in the last millisecond, the last nanosecond, before you die, you could, in all sincerity, cry out to God and say, God, I'm calling out to you, Lord, like the thief on the cross. Somebody might say, what about suicide? Now, listen, I don't recommend suicide. I have to be very careful. But there are people who have committed suicide in this life. There are Christians who were wonderful Christians and they went through a fit of hormonal imbalance or depression or whatever, or in a moment of absolute breakdown, they committed suicide. Listen, if Jesus died for all manner of sin, then where do we get the idea, or some people get the idea, that all manner of sin but suicide? I'm not endorsing suicide. But there are people, you think somebody can be so depressed and know the Lord or call out to the Lord and yet be so depressed that that sin trumps the blood of Christ? It's impossible. And that's a very challenging thing, because in a moment in somebody's mind, they can say, well, there's one way. Jesus is pretty right on, except in this area. You can be blessed with the Holy Spirit, and that is to die rejecting Christ. Many years ago, Walter Martin had a tremendous friend, a great aide in his ministry, who began to act weird. He began to say things that were off the wall, and they concluded, this guy is departing from the faith. And then the guy got extremely emotional, very bizarre, and the guy killed himself. Then they did an autopsy, and they found out that his man, they didn't even know, he had a thing in his brain that was so weird that it affected certain parts of his area that explained all of his conduct. So Jesus dies for all manner of sin, except a tumor that affects your brain that causes you to go nuts and you begin to sin. Oh, he doesn't die for that. You need to get a bigger view of your God. You think this morning you can be such a big sinner that your sin is too big for the blood of Christ? Look, don't impress yourself. You can't sin that big. Just don't die without Jesus. You die without Jesus and it's hell, says the Bible. Well, listen, number five, who did Jesus die for anyway? We would ask that. Well, then who did Jesus die for? Again, Jesus said to the thief at the cross, this guy was an absolute, absolute worst of the worst. Jesus said, because this man repented and turned to Christ, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And you know, that always drives people who think you have to be good enough to get to heaven, drives them nuts.
Pastor, we believe in faith in Jesus and keeping the golden rule and doing everything we can. And then we'll be saved.
Man, you must be living in a constant torment. Because usually people who believe that, they kind of walk into the room like this. Hi. They think they're so something. And yet the Bible tells us that by the works of the law, that is by doing good enough, no man shall see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Wow. Of course, should we do good? Of course. But that's not what saves us.
Well, then who did Jesus die for?
You can jot it down. I'll just paraphrase it. Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 37. There was a woman who was a very seedy woman, to say the least. She came and she worshiped before the feet of Jesus, breaking her alabaster flask, pouring it on Jesus' head and wiping her tears off of his feet with her hair. And the scribes and the Pharisees were there in all their legality. And they began to say to one another, if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't even let her touch him. And it says, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, isn't that great? Said, hey, this woman whose sins are great, no doubt about that, I'm not doubting that. Her sins are whoppers, man. Look at her. She has sinned so much, but look at her now. I tell you what, you guys, the person who is forgiven a little bit, they love me a little bit. The person who's been forgiven a whole bunch will love me a whole bunch. How can you lose with this God of the Bible? Don't count yourself out of his ability to save you. The Amplified Version of the Bible puts 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 this way, and I hope you receive this. This is for, even though Paul said, I used to scoff at the name of Christ, I hunted down his people, harming them in every way that I could. But God had mercy upon me because I did it in ignorance and in unbelief. Oh, how kind and gracious the Lord was. He filled me completely with faith and the love of Christ Jesus, his son. This is a true saying. If anyone should believe it, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the worst among them all. That was the Apostle Paul speaking. Isn't that great news? Number six, what will happen to me when I die? When Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven you, and this man receives this news, this man obeys Christ and believing what Jesus says, what will happen to you and I? Listen, Psalm 116, 15. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You become a saint of God based upon the Bible by trusting Christ. 2 Peter 1:11. 2 Peter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stress the word abundantly. Open wide the gate. God will bring you in. You say, I want that, I want that. You can have that. 2 Corinthians 5:6. We are always confident, are you? We are always confident knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. But what does the Bible go on to say? To be absent from this body is to be what? Present with the Lord. If you trust Christ, what will happen to you when you die? Straight into the everlasting arms of Jesus. You blink here and you blink there. Isn't that great? Man. John 14, verses 1 to 3, I'll paraphrase it. Jesus said, I'm going away. And I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. That where I am, where is he? I will come again and take you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that great news? Number seven, what will happen to me if I die a non-Christian? I'm glad you asked. John 3:15 again says, we read it a moment ago. John 3:15 begins by saying, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Are you trusting in him? That's John's question to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Listen, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is already condemned. That means you're living under condemnation because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. And this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, Jesus, but men love their darkness more than the light. Men would rather live for their own desires and their own direction than to follow God. Matthew 7:21, Jesus began by saying there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, in the last days, many will come and say, didn't we do miracles? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do all these great things for you in your name? And Jesus said, I will turn to them and say, I never knew who you were. Depart from me into everlasting torment. You say, Jack, you're terrifying me. I haven't raised anybody from the dead or have done any miracles. Do you see this church? Listen, this is very liberating. If you get it, you don't get to heaven by doing miracles. What? You don't get to heaven by doing any of that. Jesus said there'll be those who were miracle workers by whatever powers, we don't know, other than satanic or hocus pocus demonic junk. And Jesus says, I don't even know who you are. Go away. Now, I don't know about you, but that's very inviting to me. Wow, Lord, that gives me hope. Why? Jack, explain that to me. Because now it's incumbent. You know what that means? It's upon me. It's my opportunity. It's what I'm to do. It should be my passion to know him. Depart from me, I never knew you. So what's he saying? What's he inviting? Know him, right? So question, church. Question, friend visiting today. Do you know him? That's what God the Father will say in the end. Did you know my son? And right now the Spirit of God is saying to you, yes, Jack, you know me and praise me and worship me and love me. Yes, Lord. And for some of you this morning, maybe the Lord is saying, you don't know me, do you? You don't know what I say. You don't know what I think. You haven't read my book. You don't know what I feel. You don't know how to get to my heaven, to my kingdom. And God's love is reaching out to you. And we end with this one. Who can be forgiven then? Who can be forgiven? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, Romans 10:13. Who can be forgiven then? Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. See, the Bible says that it's appointed unto every man once to die and then comes the judgment. So call upon him. Bow, as it were, the knee of your heart. Last verse, and we are truly all done. We got to be done. It's the last verse on my notes. In John 6:37, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me, they'll come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will in no way turn around or cast out. Oh. Shut your Bible. We're all done. Now it's your turn to respond. Man, your sins are forgiven you, said Jesus. Hallelujah. Watch this. It can be true for you today. You can be cleansed today, and you can be healed of your paralyzed condition. Father, right now we pray. Lord, God, the Holy Spirit, we invite you to move in this place. Father, as we pray as believers that distractions would be stopped, that the mind would be in tune, that the heart would be reckoning, and there would be, Father, this great, awesome move of logic and reason, mind and heart, and will being changed. That this morning, Father, in this place, that the Holy Spirit would be free, and that there would be those mature enough today to say, that's it for me. I'm not playing this game anymore.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, It's Time to Get Up and Go, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, would you like to access all kinds of media that Pastor Jack has to offer? Keeping us connected with Jesus is what jackhibbs.com is all about. Watch broadcast content on demand with Real Life TV, listen to the latest Real Life Radio broadcasts, or check out the Real Life podcasts hosted by Pastor Jack. You can also sign up for Pastor Jack's weekly devotional, and be sure to access the Real Life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. And for a gift of any amount, get the latest book of the month, personally recommended by Pastor Jack. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.